I remember it as if it were yesterday. That first seed of a calling into ministry. I was fishing with my cousin Melvin at Lake Comus in Delavan, Wisconsin. There wasn't much fish. They weren't biting. So Melvin and I, well, I was about 12, maybe 13. Melvin and I walked up the big hill and we put our fishing poles in Grandpa and Grandma's garage. So when we felt the urge to fish, we just go over to the garage, pick up our poles, go down, throw them in the water, and try to catch fish. So we put our fishing poles away. Now, my grandparents on my mother's side were stern Dutch immigrants who loved the Lord. And especially my grandma was stern. Honestly, I was just a little afraid of her because she would like be barking out very serious orders because of just order and cleanliness and a real Dutch mother, endearing Dutch mother. So we're putting our poles away together and we're about ready to walk onto our next playtime, whatever that's going to be, go up to the tree fort, whatever, when suddenly a voice, the voice of my grandmother, "Ya boys," I can hear it, come in here. Uh-oh, were we in trouble? Did we do something wrong? Sit. And she walked over to her Bible drawer and got an old King James Version out. And she opened it to the book of Jeremiah. And I can still hear it, though it happened. It seemed like a generation ago. Fell. Reading from Jeremiah 1. "Before I formed you in the womb," that's how they did the W, it was pronounced like a V, the womb. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were set apart, I called you as a prophet to the nation. Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, 'You must go where I send you and say what I command you for today.'" And she went on and on. When she was done with that, when that passage was over, she said, "Well, boys, you can go." And that was it. Very few words. A passage from the Bible. But I can tell you, it was as if the presence of the living God was stirring in my heart. A prophet to the nations? I felt the self-evident presence of God in that irresistible calling to ministry. Though quickly in my mind, my dad was a mechanic, my mother was a factory worker, ministry, preachers. At 12, I knew I couldn't read out that well. I was a dyslexic. How is that going to work? I had a speech impediment. I still am not the greatest speaker. I'm not the smoothest anything. Like, really? Prophet to the nations? No way. But I knew it in my heart. And some of you know in your heart the irresistible calling of God to ministry. So today, we're going to talk about hearing the irresistible, self-evident calling. So, what are you called to do? What has been God saying to your heart? We all have different journeys. There has been brokenness. Not one of you at Christian Leaders Institute, including myself and everybody else, not one of us lives apart from our sinful nature. We know it. In fact, in book of 1 John, we read that if we say we are without sin, we are a liar. The truth is not in us. So each of us are sinners. So it also says that if you can keep on sinning, the truth is not in you. So what does that mean? It means this. Called people are sinners and broken, but called people are not satisfied with that situation. So we come in confession. We come to God. We know a Savior is needed because a Savior was needed for us. So there has been redemption. Maybe you have been far away from God, but He is now bringing you back. He wants to make you a prophet to the nations. What is God telling you right now as you read these words, as you hear these words? Your family needs you. Your circle of influence needs influencing for Christ. So what if a cultivation system for identifying, training, and mobilizing Christian leaders was simplified? Like right now, the whole calling process to ministry is extremely complicated generally in the various denominations and so forth. And it's very difficult if called to ministry to actually get to serve in ministry or even serve as an ordained leader in many of the denominations. Now, some denominations, it's much simpler, but then training is not really offered. So what would it be like if any leader could bloom where they are planted? What if they could find local leaders in their local churches, businesses, ministry, community to participate with them in their education? Could these leaders become their mentors or sponsor? What if high-quality Christian education was available free of charge and brought directly to leaders through an internet connection? Now, when I say all this what if, I go like, that's the fire and the passion of Christian Leaders Institute, that we can help any called leader get mobilized. What if the system was set up in such a way that strong accountability pieces were hardwired into the process so that those who sensed the call could be tested in that call? What if the cost to develop all of this was so efficient that we could offer advanced training as a mission where contributions were not lost to the high cost of the current models of higher education that's overhead and buildings and tenure and all of those things and high tuition with high amount of debt, with average amount of debt being $27,000 in for people in America? What if instead, for a fraction of the cost of traditional Christian colleges, or any college for that matter, you could train thousands of called Christian leaders? You know, when we started Christian Leaders Institute, I will tell you, many people didn't even believe that it was a good idea. What, free? Free training? Nobody's going to own this. And I admit that unless someone has the currency of calling, and they don't own their call, if they don't own their calling, they're not going to take the time and the struggle and the study to take this formal education. So if you're not called to do this, I promise you, you will quit. Is your calling self-evident? If it's day outside, you call it day. It's self-evidently day. If you're called to ministry, you can run, but you can't hide from it. You can do everything you can to suppress it, but it comes back. It's, you think about it, and it's there. You try to put it away sometimes, but it won't go away. It's that self-evident calling that fuels the sacrifice. Where people train at Christian Leaders Institute, even though there's no force to get this training done. I am amazed at what I have seen in the fire and the passion of Christian Institute or Christian Leaders Institute revival leaders. So, what happens at Christian Leaders Institute? With your mentor, you explore your calling with active study. Complete certificate-level courses in ministry, including enterprise. The Apostle Paul was a businessman, so that's like business, enterprise business. Restorative justice. We're excited about helping even the most disregarded people in society, that they will come back, be restored, be called to ministry, totally forgiven by Christ. Re-entering society as Christian leaders. I mean, come on, some of the most amazing Christian leaders of the past did prison time. And philosophy. We really like this concept of ministry training, enterprise, restorative justice, philosophy, all of these things. Now, we have this option that we introduced in 2014, and that's through the Christian Leaders Alliance, which is one of our divisions at Christian Leaders. So we have Christian Leaders is the main 501c3 in the United States. Then we have Christian Leaders Institute. You're at Christian Leaders Institute. Then we have Christian Leaders Alliance that's taking the responsibility of guiding through local ordinations. We call it deacon minister, where you are ordained in the minister, deacon minister role at your local church, at your local ministry situation. And then we have a centralized directory of those ordained leaders. We send a letter of good standing. We are a 501c3 that is sanctioned to ordain. So we have this ordination partnership with local ministries all over. And so you get an ordination card. It's an exciting program, but it's totally optional. If you do not have interest in ordination, that's great. If you are interested in that, fine. We would love to help you pursue that option. So we have complete diploma-level training for more advanced training awards. You can work toward a degree program offered at Christian Leaders Institute. And our sort of vision for degree is the divinity degree, an enterprise degree, and a philosophy degree. Again, we're targeting the Apostle Paul as sort of our model for raising up revival leaders. The Apostle Paul was a ministry leader, an apostle, God's chosen instrument to the Gentiles. He was a businessman. He made tents and he connected to other tent makers. And he was a philosopher. And I love his core philosophic statement, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." I mean, that's all the philosophy of how the Greeks were, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And then Paul sees philosophy and connects it, if Christ is not raised. And I feel we need to know why we do this. So I feel philosophically that ministry leaders, impact leaders, need to know why. So we're going to offer all of these options and offer all of those options. Another thing, as you consider your calling, is this is a generosity-driven free training. Generous vision-driven students and graduates, they have been reached with free ministry training. Now, CLI partners with their vision to reach others. And I put it this way, if you've been reached, will you reach others through your support? We are their tool to spread more training to more people. So if you give to Christian Leaders Institute as a student, we're your tool to change the world. A lot of times people get that the other way around. They think, will you support Christian Leaders Institute with your tithes and gifts? And yes, that's true. But I look at it, no, I support your vision. You, if you want to spread free ministry training, let us help you do that by being your vehicle. So when you give, it's an extension of your vision, not of the founder's vision. your vision. You're called to extend ministry training everywhere. So generous individuals, churches, foundations outside of the students also want to reach more people. So these vision partners see CLI as their mission to raise up more Christian leaders. So we have students and graduates and alumni, their vision partners, and we have outside kingdom leaders who have a passion to raise up more leaders. Now, why is the generosity-driven free training model so important to your self-evident calling to ministry? Well, we don't want money to get in the way of that process with you and God. We don't want money to get in the way. And how is money not to get in the way? Because let's say you go to a Bible school or a university and then on to a seminary. I went 8 years to college and seminary. All of that process, you're investing. And then finally, when you're in debt or you expended a lot of resources and you're listening to God called to ministry, or am I called to ministry? I actually believe money gets in the way. It also gets in the way of then where you're going to work. So now you have to get a ministry job to help you pay off your ministry training debt. I believe that messes with calling. The mentor driven model, where we beam the training in to you in the context of indigenous leaders, local leaders, is a model where you can take one step at a time, get excellent training all along the way, and no one goes in debt. Now, we do have some fees in that because we have to pay for the staff that makes these things official. But our passion is that we give it to you. You process your calling with God, with your local mentors, and see where that goes. I said before about administration donation calls fees. Support the administration of the headquarters and other personalization of the CLI graduate experience. These include such things as customer service, official award services. For all those people that need these services, we want to be there to help you in your calling process. Products and services also contribute to the funding of Christian Leaders Institute. So all I can say is buy a shirt, buy a hat, support us. With your support, your vision is being spread through the whole world. So now let's talk about calling, that self-evident calling. So you have this context where it's free. Generosity supported. No one's going in debt. So what really constitutes that self-evident calling? One of these key things is your victorious walk with God. In this class, we're going to talk about the seven connections. This later on in this Getting Started class. And that's about a victorious Bible, reproducible Bible walk and prayer walk with God in your personal life, your marriage, if you're married, your family, your friends, your church community, how that comes out to the kingdom, how does that go to the world in evangelism. So that is a vital walk. Called leaders who minister in their community need the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word of God. You are going to put to death that old nature, not satisfied with the old nature, but want more and more to serve the Lord. You need His help to be transformed. You will be more effective in your personal and family life growing with God. So, you know, to me, I always believe, like, you know, the calling to ministry is every man or woman's calling over their life situations and in their life relationships. So if, let's say you're a businessman and you're called to take our enterprise training and you're going to serve the Lord by starting up a business, let's say. Well, you're still being a minister to, maybe you have a wife and maybe you have kids, maybe you have a spouse and children. You are still being a minister. So all the training you do, if it's valuable for just your family. Is not your family mostly one of the most important relationships in your life? If all this free training was just to help you be a more spiritually led, Holy Spirit led leader for your family, would that not be worth it? And then you got all this enterprise training, business training that just made you all the better, making an impact in your community. So I sort of feel like, you know, people go like, well, is this training for those only going to a ministry job or a ministry position, a volunteer ministry? I say no. The relationships in your life are so worth it that you are well-grounded in ministry training. You'll be able to share with others if your walk is real, relevant, and reproducible. So that victorious walk truly fuels your ministry training. Never go into ministry because you think it's like a career. It's like a job. You know, ministry is a calling. The currency is calling. And what's underneath that calling is a connection to the God of the universe in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you do become ordained, your ministry will be more effectively connected to God in a daily way. In fact, the Bible cautions against being too quick in the ordaining of office bearers. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Do not be hasty in the laying out of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." So, all the more, a vital walk with God is the fuel that fuels calling. Now, let's talk about some of the traditional articulations of how someone thinks about calling to ministry or calling to serve the Lord. Traditionally, people thought of it, there's an internal calling. Christian leaders are called through an internal call and an external calling and confirmation. The internal and the external calling are confirmed in various ways. These callings are confirmed by God and confirmed by others in our lives. This is a curious and prayerful faith journey. So we see that in the Apostle Paul. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel. So there was a sense that in Paul's internal understanding, he heard the calling, and the calling was before him every day, so much so that when he started an epistle to like the Romans, he's talking about the calling is that essence that fuels his ministry. So you must have a real walk with God if you want to be God's ambassador. Further, your specific call and urgency must come to you from God out of your walk with God. This is called the internal calling. Do you find yourself praying and meditating about your call to serve the Lord? Do you find in your prayer and devotional life that God has placed urgency in your heart for reaching others and helping others to reach others? Does your heart burn within you through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Now, my grandma said those passages, and I sensed the voice of God saying, those are for you. And then it was interesting, as I grew throughout my teenage years at the church, and as we did devotions, because in our family we read the Bible every day, it was fascinating as I prayed and read, the thoughts of the calling kept building. And I started picturing myself when the preacher would preach on Sunday, I started picturing myself as that person. You know, as he was preaching, there's something inside of me that was preaching too. It was being identified. That's the internal calling. Then, traditionally, in calling of ministry leaders, they talk about the external calling. What is God speaking to your heart? This is the internal calling. Let's talk about the external calling. This calling aspect can be more observable. We read in the Word, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. How does your internal calling connect to your person? What do you like to do? Here are factors to consider when you are called to serve in the kingdom of God. So let's talk about this, which are related to externally, who you are as a person, who God created you to be. And then we're going to talk how these things are confirmed through prayer, but they're also confirmed by others in your life. Even being able to get through your ministry training is a form of confirmation. Can I actually articulate what the Bible says and share it? So, first of all, some of those external things are your gifts and ministry. So, you know, gifts would be, you know, what are your gifts? The New Testament explores how giftedness connects to spiritually called Christian leaders. Gift.com has a great definition of gifts. In the next presentation here at Christian Leaders Institute, I'm going to go deep into these gifts. Now, I also said gifts and ministry. You know, ministry, if you're already doing something and people are paying attention and what you say are connecting to people, you're actually, like, doing something in ministry, or you're serving another form of ministry, is you're actually serving others and it's noticed, that's examples of external call. Here's some other examples of that external call, those observable things you can observe, in that case, even within yourself. Your interest. Your interest is vital to a call to church leadership, to ministry leadership, to being an impactor in your community. I will not venture, I love this from Romans 15, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so I would not be building on someone else's foundation. And what's fascinating about this is Paul even enjoys the external aspect of his calling, that he is going to build churches, and he's not going to venture to speak of anything but what Christ has spoken to his own heart about. You know, I want to talk one more thing about, I'm going to go back to the interest. If it just really bores you to think about serving others, and you're not interested in any aspect of that, you know, that is a big connection to calling. Do you actually have an interest, let's say, in youth ministry, interest in the youth? Do you have an interest in maybe senior care? Do you have the interest in being a business leader who wants to fuel your community impact? I mean, if you have no interest in that, it's hard to detect a calling in that area. Another important external feature of a calling is observing your temperament. Christian leaders need a temperament for leadership in the church or in the community. Do they deal with the failure well? Are they leaders of peace? Christian leaders have a huge responsibility in the eternal destinies of souls. Ooh, did you hear that? The eternal destinies of souls. If that doesn't make you want to study hard in your calling to really know what the scripture says, nothing will. Sometimes in the area of souls, we are so shoddy and we don't pay attention. But the eternal destiny of souls, will they be able to handle the stress or crack under pressure? People will criticize them. They'll criticize you if you go into ministry. They can be easily caught up in a conflict with those they are called, they are calling to faith. The real conflict is between the forces of evil and the resurrection-empowered forces of God. Interesting. Could they learn to deal with their congregations in a compassionate, understanding way? In the end of the day, temperament is part of calling. I call it external because you're seeking to now observe those features of your personality. So I'm going to review that. Internal is, what is the Lord saying to you personally? What's the personal vision? Now you ask, do all of the other things align? You know, such as giftedness and such as interest and temperament. And here's one. This is like obviously external confirmation. If someone is called to ministry, they should have confirmation. They should talk to those who know them best, their spouse, their family, friends, about whether or not they could see them as a sustainable leader. Not having their spouse and family behind them in ministry is a red flag. I love this. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You know what I love about that? It's here's the story of reproducing leaders, mentor, mentees, Paul, Timothy, and now everyone has seen that relationship and has seen how Timothy is also confirmed in ministry and people can observe it. So, we put together a calling assessment exercise that will help you discern your calling. It's in your readings. Do this exercise. Do it yourself. And then, if you're married, include your spouse. Include your mentor, a pastor in the process, a friend. My only danger is don't pick naysayers. You know what I mean, naysayers? There are some people who just are going to see the negative in everything. And you don't want to surround yourself with a naysayer who just is going to automatically say, no way, it's not going to be there for you. So what you're looking for in this calling process, in your studies at CLI, is you're looking for the voice of God to speak to your heart internally. And then you're looking at all the external things, who you were made by God. What's the confirmation? What's your temperament? And then as you study here at Christian Leaders Institute and do ministry with your mentor, you're going to start seeing a pattern and there's going to be a confirmation process. As you go, for instance, through the deacon ministry ordination, if you seek to be ordained, that's simple. You do the Getting Started class, the one you're in right now. You then do the Christian Basics class. And then you study what it means to be a simple vocational deacon, I mean, bivocational deacon or whatever, just serving in your local context. Seeing if three people will recommend you, you're doing these various things. And then, through that whole process, a fire could be lit in you as you then go further in your training and further realize what you're called to do. So, as you assess your calling, this is a wonderful time to reflect on what God is speaking to your heart and what God is confirming in your person as well as confirming in your community for the self-evident. As it is light in the day, so self-evident is your calling to ministry.